All right, thank you, orchestra and our choir, and also our praise band and our simulcast service. Thank you for coming today. Our attendance keeps rising. We've gotten to about 50% of our pre-COVID attendance, so that's good. And then we welcome today those who are watching on their electronic device. I got a call earlier in the week, and we have a new director of missions for the Floyd County Baptist Association, Tim Smith. And Tim, you mind just standing and turn around and let our people see? He's right here on the front row. Let's give him a Silver Creek welcome on both sides. He said, would it be all right if I visited your church this Sunday? I said, yeah. I said, on first Sundays, we don't usually pass the snake, so this will be a real good time for you to come. Lives in Cartersville. He worked for the Georgia Baptist Convention for over 21 years, director of discipleship, several other areas, and he's retired from the Georgia Baptist Convention. He was offered that same position or something similar by three other states, but he felt led to come be our director of missions. He is outstanding. Has a precious wife. They live in Cartersville. She was diagnosed with breast cancer about a month before he found out he was going to be retiring from the Georgia Baptist Convention. She's in isolation at home, and he said she just loves being with people, but that's why she's not with him today. And at the end of the service, I'm going to ask Tim, if you don't mind, come to our welcome center. Those of you in the gym and simulcast, you come by. We'll speak to you from afar so you don't take anything back to Bartow County, okay? Thank you for being with us. Do you know what to do when you don't know what to do yet from that song you just heard? Okay. All right. Well, I ask you to take your Bible today and turn to 2 Timothy with me, and also going to turn to Genesis chapter 2, Psalm 139, several other passages of Scripture. And I want to share with you today that we find truth in the Word of God, and the Word of God lives forever. It doesn't matter if President Biden denies it, or the Congress and the Senate denounce it through legislation, our cancel culture says it is dead. The Word of God lives forever. Look, if you will, in 2 Timothy, very familiar passage of Scripture, in chapter 2, and look with me at verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you want to know about your true worth as a human being, go to the Word of God. You're worth so much that Christ went to the cross for us. If you have a problem and you need an answer, there it is. If you want to learn about moral absolutes, it's contained in the Holy Scriptures. We've reached a turning point in our nation. We have liberals and lost people who continue to tell us what is right is wrong, and what is wrong is right. And if you don't agree with them, you're called a bigot, you're censored, and it's legal to discriminate against us. We have liberal, unsaved people who want to control what we think and what we say. I talk to a lot of people, especially Christians, that are discouraged. I talked to a man in another county yesterday, multi-millionaire, and he had listened to the speech on Wednesday night. He's distraught and just doesn't know exactly what to do. He said, how do we get this thing turned around? I believe it has a spiritual foundation. It's going to begin when Christians stand up together in America. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, not lost people, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, what does he promise? A healing for our land. We don't need to stand on discouragement and doubt. We need to stand on the truths of God's Word. Today I want to just share with you several little samples from the Word of God of truths that absolutely never die. And the first one I want you to write down is this. In God's eyes, the family does not change. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image and our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And then over in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, He says, "The Lord God said, 'It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" And let's jump forward there to Genesis chapter 4. Adam and Eve came together intimately, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. And later she gave birth to Abel. God designed the family to be male and female together. I love Dr. John Phillips, great Bible scholar. He said, having described how man's domains were prepared for him, Moses concludes the narrative section of the creation story by telling how man's domains were presented to him. He said, the section begins by telling how God created Adam. The Holy Spirit does not say that man was created in the image and likeness of the beast. God said, "Let us make man in our image." We have absolutely no connection to the beast. Yet in our schools, with our tax dollars, we teach the theory of evolution. God crowned Adam with a position. In chapter 1, in Genesis, verse 28, it says, He gave him dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, every living thing. Then He gave him possessions. He gave him paradise to enjoy. Now look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 through 25. The marriage of the woman to Adam. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib He had taken out of man, and He brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." That is why a man leaves his father and mother, unites his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Adam opened his eyes, and at last he gazed into the face of the woman God had created especially for him. And here's what we read at weddings over and over. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Ladies and gentlemen, what you are seeing here is the first wedding in the history of man. I'm amazed at how much people pay for destination wedding. Seldom is a wedding conducted at a church. Well, let me tell you where the first wedding was conducted. At a place called paradise. Some of you fathers of the bride think that when your daughter gets married, you pay out enough money that they're trying to recreate paradise. So I want you to know it was a location wedding, a destination wedding. It embodied the highest and holiest of ideals. Dr. Richard Lee wrote a great book, and I encourage you to get it. It's entitled "The Battle for the Soul of America." He said there's nothing more natural, more essential to the health and well-being of community than traditional two-part family. This was God's plan from the very beginning. And the very first institution He created before the community, before the church, and before government, God created man and woman as partners. While there are times when the loss of a spouse or loved one may alter this arrangement for a time, He said, any deliberate attempt to circumvent God's design or to change the natural balance that is common throughout nature will have serious long-term consequences. We're beginning to see that in our nation right now. Tim and Beverly LaHaye wrote a book a long time ago called A Nation Without a Conscience. America's families are not only threatened from problems within the family. A relatively new external threat on the social horizon is the effort to replace the traditional male-female relationship in the home and the family. How would you define family? Here's the definition by Politically Correct Society. A family is any group of people that act like family. Listen to this further. Needless to say, under the nondescript definition, family is whatever you say it is. Family is merely a structure you adopt or restructure according to your needs and desires. Do you feel love and commitment towards someone? Then, according to progressives, according to liberals, those are people that are your family. Should such emotions go away, you'll be free to do the same, presumably to find a new flexible family. Now, here we are. Alternative marriage has been rammed down our throats in society. The alternative lifestyle group has decided that's not working very well. So they're going to Congress, they're going to the Senate, and they're going to the courts. And I want you to know that if Congress passes H.R. 1 and the Senate passes it, I will no longer be able to stand before you and say the only God-ordained marriage that's recognized by God is between a male and a female. If I say anything like that, I can be arrested and fined. Hadn't said anything about alternative lifestyles there. I'm just talking about the way God made us. So the alternative community, they have gone to the courts and to the lawmakers. Now listen to me carefully. What I'm trying to share with you today is not a hate speech. I'm sharing with you the timeless truth of God's Word, that God made us. He established marriage. He established the family. The design is right here. The instruction book is here. And ladies and gentlemen, the debate is over. It's not up for a vote. God created the male, female, traditional, Bible-based marriage, period. That truth never ends. The second thing I want to share with you today is about the sanctity of life. Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well my frame is not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that life begins at conception. That baby begins to get breath through the mother's umbilical cord. And I want you to know that life is to be protected from the time of conception all the way until a natural death takes place. Without respect for human life at all stages from conception to a natural death, any claim for decency, for morality in a nation is absolutely meaningless. We are not blameless in this world. In the United States alone, we've had over 63 million abortions performed. Our present president and his staff have made sure that Planned Parenthood is fully funded. And then he is now using our tax dollars in international countries to fund abortion in other places. It's just a slaughter of babies. Now, how do we combat this? Well, we need to begin praying. We need to begin praying for people would have their minds changed. And I want you to know, hundreds of thousands of people are changing their minds about abortion. You know why? Sonograms. Georgia Baptist Convention gave Haven Healthcare $50,000 here in Floyd County to help us raise money to have a sonogram. Now, here's the statistic. When you have a young lady who comes into the Haven Healthcare, the pregnancy center, and she's made up her mind she really would like to have an abortion, but she's wrestling with this, we say, well, we can come alongside you if you'll have the child, and we can help provide some food and diapers and a little beds, whatever you need, clothes. But first of all, we have a free sonogram for you. Now, keep in mind, this lady has already made up her mind before she came in that she would really like an abortion but wants more information. 80% of those girls decide after they've seen the sonogram they will have their baby. Now, let me tell you what's going on with the lawmakers in America right now. We offer these sonograms free. But now our lawmakers are starting to say that offering these free sonograms circumvents the law of the women's right to choose. Now, how warped is that? I mean, we're offering it free. Let me tell you this as well. There's some sections in the United States where there's a women's health care center for pay, and right down the street there's something like Haven Healthcare, and they're offering free sonograms. So these people over here that do sonograms for profit are going to the state legislature and saying that free sonogram is in too close proximity to our for-profit clinic. We want that shut down. Isn't that a blessing? Listen carefully. God's value on life never changes. Right there in his word. Next thing I want you to write down is a national work ethic. Dating back to the landing at Plymouth Rock, there's been what is known as the Protestant work ethic. Now, what is that? If you don't work, you don't eat. I have talked to managers and business owners over the last 5 months. They're desperate for employees. Their employees have quit because they've gotten stimulus checks. And then after they got stimulus checks, they qualified to get unemployment indefinitely, and they make more on unemployment than they do working their job. And everybody knows what that is. You know, if you give a child an M&M for the first time, you think they'll want a second one. Yeah, you'll be buying the family size per serving for that little child. And so the liberals have figured out, if we'll just, y'all just keep raising kids without fathers out here, I don't care what race it is, if you breed them, we'll feed them. And then we're over here and we're saying, listen, if you'll just vote for us, we'll keep giving you taxpayer dollars. And then there's some slick lawyers out here that are great with disability cases, and we get these healthy people that come in, and the lawyer says, for X amount of money, I'll get you on disability for the rest of your life. What's going on is liberals are buying votes with our money. That's exactly what's going on. And I want you to know that as we look at this in times of stress, you can go back to the Great Depression of the 1930s. We've seen floods. We've seen fires. We've seen times when businesses and jobs were destroyed. But there's been a work ethic through this country. The founders knew that everybody needed to work so that this nation could become successful. And any government policy that subverts the right to work holds individuals and families in bondage. What we hear today about is more government giveaways. We need to take care of those that are disabled. And that starts, according to the Word of God, with families taking care of families. And then it goes to the church. And then it goes to government. But God's truth stands, if you don't work, you don't eat. and that never expires. Another truth I want to share with you is the right to a Christian education. As I said earlier, America has suffered greatly at the hands of an agenda-driven educators over the past half century. While our entire society suffers because of it, it's our young people who suffer the most. I can remember being in college in the 1970s, the English department, totally liberal. Political science, totally liberal. History department, totally liberal. Humanities, totally liberal. Now understand, until I was a junior in college, I wasn't even saved. I didn't know the difference in a liberal and a conservative. I just knew I was going to live forever. I mean, when you're 19, 20 years old, you're never going to die. You're never even going to get old. You're paying out Social Security. You didn't know that. Praise God, one of these days, you might finally draw a check. And by the way, the government calls that an entitlement. I don't call it an entitlement. I paid that money in. Seems to me it belongs to me. Now listen carefully. This is what has happened in our society. We're raising kids that have no respect for teachers, police officers, their mom or daddy, or if they're in the home. This starts in the home, but I want you to know it's propagated out here in the schools. I'm going to tell you, I pray for our schools and I pray for our teachers. I've been a mentor before, and how in the world you go in there 9 months out of the year and put up with what you do? We had a board of education in every school I attended. Mr. Collins was 7 feet, 4 inches tall. He taught wood shop. I don't believe anybody teaches wood shop anymore. And I want you to know that if you misbehaved in any classroom, the teacher sent you down to Mr. Collins. Now, he's 7'4". He's got a board this long, this thick, with holes drilled in it. And I wondered what that was all about until I got sent there one day. And when he came back, he didn't hit you in the fanny. He hit you right down here in the legs. It was instant liftoff. And you know what? That was his signature, those 3 holes that didn't burn your back in. And you didn't ever want to go back there again. Now, parents, you call them at home and say, we've got a disobedience problem with your child. And you know what some parents tell the teachers and the principals? When my child is in your care at school, you take care of them. Don't call me. When they're in my home, they're my responsibility. Now, what you going to do with that? Alternative school. Are you kidding me? We didn't have alternative schools. The alternative was to go home and face your mom and dad and tell them you've been kicked out of school. That's where you learn the definition of the death penalty. Your daddy brought you in this world, and your daddy can take you out of this world. And there were no fines or prison time for him. There was a poll commissioned by the American Council of Trustees and Alumni called ACTA. And they examined the knowledge of American history among seniors of the top 55 liberal arts colleges in America. They dealt with subjects that teachers long ago would expect their children to learn by the time they were seniors in high school, but these are college graduates. And I want you to listen to some of this. The results were discouraging. 81% of college students that they tested received a D or an F on this test. There was only one perfect score. Here's a brief sampling of this. 35% guessed the phrase, to each according to his needs, for each according to his ability, said that came out of the United States Constitution. You know where those words came from? Marxist dogma. That's a quote from a Marxist book. Those students thought it was from the Constitution. More than half of the students thought Germany, Italy, or Japan were the United States' ally in World War II. Less than 30% said the president has the ability to suspend the Bill of Rights in wartime, which is not true. At least 40% of the students in the active study could not place the Civil War in the correct half of the century. 42% knew that the words "first in war, first in peace, first in the hearts of his countrymen" were from a speech from George Washington. Listen carefully. About 25%, listen, only 25% could tell you that James Madison was one of the architects of the Constitution. 22% recognized the words "government of the people, by the people, for the people." They came from Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Zogby poll found that the average amount of knowledge that college seniors had was approximately the same as a high school graduate from the 1950s. More than anything, the poor performance of today's students reflects the decreased emphasis on the general knowledge at all levels of education. It's important to understand that today's students are just as intelligent as those back in the 1950s. But we have curriculums that poorly prepare our students, and I believe that's on purpose. President Reagan warned us, if we forget what we did, we won't know who we are. He said the eradication of the American memory will eventually lead to an erosion of the American spirit, and that's exactly what happened. You know, back in the 1950s and 60s, people were enjoying life, going to school. They had a sock hop you'd go to. If the Baptist didn't find out, you were dancing. You went to the roller skate drive-in. There was a happy part of life. There were some solid families back then, and they had family reunions. Everybody loved to go, and you look forward to going to work, going into the military, going to college, and getting a great job. But now what have we got? We've got anger, political corruptness. We've got a spiritually divided culture attempting to deny the nation's magnificent historical legacy. Can you believe we've got a group called cancel culture? Which they need to be canceled themselves. But if Christians don't stand up, it's not going to happen. Psalm 89:15. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. Let's move on quickly to the Abrahamic covenant. Psalm 33:12. I love this. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people he has chosen for his own inheritance. I think we'd all agree that America has been blessed above all other nations in the world. Abraham had a covenant with God, and God answered all the promises. I believe why this has been the greatest nation in all the world is because our founding fathers dedicated this land to the Lord, and then the laws that they made were based on the Word of God and the Ten Commandments. And I think we've experienced so many tragedies, just waves of them over through the years, is because we've broken our covenant with God, and now it's time to pay. God blesses when you obey. But I want you to know there's going to be suffering and destruction. Let me tell you, I am concerned about your children and your grandchildren's future. I hope they don't have to live through socialism. I hope they don't have to live through controls like people experience in third world countries. And the way the administration does now through the secular liberal media, America is not very well educated. So if you keep telling a lie like it's the truth, America accepts the lies before they accept truth and fall prey to it. We ought to be a nation of law. If you do the time, do the crime, you do the time. If I've worked hard to have a business and somebody comes and torches it and steals my inventory, I want those people found and I want them prosecuted. That's the way we've always kept law and order here. If you've got a covenant with God, you've got to obey the laws of God. And when you obey, God always blesses. Next thing I want to share with you quickly is common decency from Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And what do you do with your neighbor? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Is there anything more gratifying than being treated with decency and respect? You're walking up to a restaurant, and there's a lady or senior adult couple coming, and I always open the door for Delaine. I've always opened the door at the car for her. But I want you to know, if you're waiting on somebody to come in and you hold the door for them, they look at you like you're an alien. And then they finally will say thank you. There's at least one gentleman left in our society. That sounds so strange to me. We need to teach people with respect. I walked in the Sweet Bar the other day. Now, that's a bakery. The Sweet Bar is a bakery. He's got to get indoctrinated here. It wasn't margaritas 350 all day. That's not what this was. And I walked in there the other day, and there was a lady standing there in line, and she looked like she'd already been waited on. There was another lady being waited on. And when I walked in, a girl walked right up, and she said, what do you have? I said, man, I want two of those chocolate iced donuts, and I want one glaze, and I want one of your honey buns. She got it that fast. And she rung it up, and I paid her, gave her a tip, turned around, and I found out the lady that was standing second right there, they had not waited on her yet, and I was so embarrassed. I apologized to her profusely. We need to respect people. If we understand that we're created in the image of God, we honor the Creator, we treat others like we want to be treated. Jesus said, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Delaney and I went on our date Friday. We went out of the county. That was amazing. We usually go to Longhorn or somewhere like that, and then we go by the floral department in Kroger, not buying any flowers, but she just needs to see what they look like. And then we go on and do our Kroger shopping. I get a short cart. She gets a short cart. She goes one way. I go another. We conquer that whole store in 15 minutes. That's unless we run into one of you and you want to talk too much. But we get that done. But we went out of town. We went all the way to Paulding County. And she bought my lunch. I don't know what's up. We went to the couple stores she wanted to go to. And brother, when you get out of Floyd County and you get into Paulding and Cobb County, people have a license to kill with their vehicles. We left out about 10 minutes to 4 before the rush hour. We're coming over that Reynolds Parkway there. And I want you to know, just out in my peripheral vision, I saw a lady coming across the 4-lane. There wasn't room to park a car in front of me. No signal. Zoom, stuck herself right there in front of me. Then she turned on her blinker. I want you to know, in 8 seconds, she cut out in front of traffic from that side of the highway, across 4 lanes of traffic and the turn lane, and she was in another plaza. I didn't even have time to get mad. We were in the little convertible. It's got a great horn on it. And I decided just to cut around her, and Delaine says, my goodness. She said, I couldn't do what you're doing. I'd be all over my horn and all over that lady right then. You just don't know, darling, I've gotten a little bit older now. I'm just not as fast on the horn. But looking back, I'd like to sit down on it, to tell you the truth. I'm not going to treat people like that. And the Bible says that we need to treat each other. Listen, we need to treat each other the way we want to be treated. Next thing I want you to write down quickly is accountability. Romans 14:12, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves. Modern sociologists are now telling us criminals are not responsible for what they have done. They are victims of society. Do what? In other words, they're not responsible for their choices. The state of South Carolina has legislation before the State House and their Senate to release all drug criminals from their system. Doesn't that bless your heart? And then the southern border is just wide open. People bringing in COVID. We've got gangs coming in. We've got drugs coming in. Well, let's process all of them and feed them. And let's give them a bus ticket and put them up in a hotel in Las Vegas. Make sure it's five diamond. Because, see, these people are not responsible for their behavior. They've been down here in South America and Mexico and some other places, and they're victims of their society too. Here's what Peter said. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You may not do time here, but Christians are going to be at the bema, the judgment seat of Christ, one day to have our works tested. Salvations, that's all taken care of. We said yes here. But there is going to be the great white throne judgment. And there's not going to be any legal defenders down there. And their eternal punishment will be meted out. Ladies and gentlemen, that's truth that never dies. Last thing I want to share with you, the rule and reign of Jesus. Philippians 2, 9 through 11, one of my favorite passages of scriptures. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that's above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. People in America in general have decided to live and govern as if there is no God. Seems to me Sodom and Gomorrah tried the same thing. And they had a real hot summer one time, and there was nothing left but ashes. Listen, we've got groups disobeying laws that are based on the Ten Commandments. We have politicians, corporations, individuals who censor and discriminate against conservatives and especially against Christian people. Now listen, the game is this: control. But the goal, especially, is to control and limit the freedoms of Christian people. In the Olympics, those competitors work hard. What happens in the Olympics? There's always what? The gold, the silver, and the bronze. Well, they have little platforms up there for the winners to stand on. You know, the bronze, they stand up there, they've got the bronze medal around the neck, and they play the national anthem of that country. Isn't that right? Put the silver up there. They put the silver around the contestant's neck. They play the national anthem. And then the gold comes out. And then they play the national anthem of that contestant. You know what? None of those athletes get to pick their song. You know, this one doesn't say, I want you to play dance to the music when I'm up here getting my medal. And this one over here doesn't say, I want a rap song played while I'm getting my medal. And this one over here, he can't say, listen, I got a girlfriend at home. Could you play My Girl for me while I'm getting my medal? Absolutely not. You're representing your nation. And your nation is honored when you get that medal. Isn't that right? Well, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, we're to be running the race of the Christian life in kingdom work. And there's going to be a time of reward for those who are faithful. There are many crowns that will be given out, and we'll place them at the feet of Jesus as an act of worship. I want you to know that when that athlete wins that gold and he comes home to the United States, sometimes they have ticker tape parades because we're proud of our competitors. And I want you to know, for the believer who stays in the race of kingdom work, he will earn, or she will earn, the master's well done. But when you get there in the kingdom and you're rewarded, you can't pick the song. And I love the Philippians passage because it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. As I listen to those liberals lying on TV, guess what's going to happen to you? If you don't get saved, you're going to bow down and confess who's Lord. And then you're going to be cast into the pits of hell. Those of us who are saved, we're going to bow down and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the music might sound something like this.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Truth that never fails. Will you stand? If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, listen, he lived a perfect life. He willingly went to the cross, shed his blood to pay for your free gift of salvation. Whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. Family Life Center, maybe this is the day you need to make your decision. Those in the worship center, maybe there's some here that need to make that decision. Billy's going to join me at the front. Ted's coming forward in the gym with the praise band. Maybe you've already made that decision, and like Katie, you need to be a candidate for baptism. You've been praying about a church home. You want to invest your gifts, your spiritual gifts, in this little place in Silver Creek that touches people locally and worldwide. You're watching on your electronic device. If you'll call 706-234-1841, leave a message. One of our staff members will get back to you immediately. If you feel free to come today, you come. If you'd rather meet us at the Connect desk out in the Family Life Center or at the Welcome desk here after the service, Billy will be there with me. We'll be glad to talk to you, pray with you about any need that you have. We need revival in America, and it's got to start with you and me. Mark's singing now. You come as God speaks to your heart.